Welcome to the Compassionate Capitalist Radio Show with host Karen Rands. A compassionate capitalist is someone who invests their money into entrepreneur endeavors to bring innovation to the market, impact their community, create jobs, and generate wealth for all those involved. Karen and her guests share insights and best practices for entrepreneurs to succeed and scale their business and investors to share in that success without all the risks. And now.
Welcome back to the Compassionate Capitalist Show. Of course, I'm Karen Rands. And I'm going to just jump right in on this because, you know, in my book, Inside Secrets to Angel Investing, I compare investing in entrepreneurs with investing in real estate. Given that deciding to invest in real estate is commonly accepted as a wealth creation strategy, and it was only up until a few years ago that investing in entrepreneurs was, it was kind of exclusive investing mechanism, practically sanctioned by the government to prevent ordinary investors from even knowing about it. You know, what we call angel investing, or owning a piece of multiple businesses, private stock equity. It was really a well-kept secret because the way it was regulated, and only the richest people in the U.S. and for the world for that matter were able to be a part of it. It made sense to compare, when I was writing the book, something unfamiliar like investing in entrepreneurs with something that has become very unfamiliar, which is investing into real estate and also readily available. You know, similar to investing in entrepreneurs, real estate was something that had been somewhat exclusive up to about 30 years ago, when tax laws changed and banking law changed and access to capital changed and a variety of things contributed, plus education, which I'm all about education. And the reason why we do this show is to help, as you heard in the intro, is to help entrepreneurs succeed in creating the best businesses they can for creating generational wealth, but really for the investors that will invest in those entrepreneurs as an asset class to learn best practices for building business. But also for those that have never thought about investing in entrepreneurs, how do you go about getting the skills? The first step is deciding you want to learn how to do it and listening to a podcast such as this. But also, if you have been learning about investing in real estate, involved investing in real estate, or wondering how can you create the kind of wealth you need to be able to invest in both real estate and entrepreneurs, my guest today is the perfect person to help us understand in the way that her firm is uniquely approaching this, that to learn about relatively low risk way to get involved in real estate investing. So, because one of the mechanisms that I talk about in the book is not direct investing, right? And direct investing in entrepreneurs, but even when it comes to direct investing in real estate, but rather investing through a fund as a limited partner. Because if you don't have the time to review a lot of deals, rank those deals, do the due diligence, have a team that can help or have the capacity to make the full investment, like deciding, you know, the due diligence on it and just really comparing it and getting up underneath the covers of it's what it might look like on the surface, but worth is what is it really worth down underneath. You have to put a team together. And if you don't have a team or the benefit of being in an angel investor network or a team, because you're of that kind of person that has their own lawyer and has their own accountant and has that kind of stuff, then it makes sense to pool your money with other investments and have a fund manager or team make those investments. And that's exactly why I was eager to have my guest on the Compassionate Capitalist Show today, to talk about real estate investing, investing through a fund, much as you would in her company's Secured Investment Corp is done. And if you don't have thousands of dollars to invest or create your own portfolio, or on the other end of the spectrum, if you're getting started and you don't even have the $10,000 to $30,000 down to buy one piece of property or good credit necessarily to make a real estate investment, because as you'll learn, you're your own business, you own your own business, you want to buy your building, you want to buy a facility for doing your manufacturing or to do your assembling or whatever it is that you're doing as an entrepreneur, and it involves real estate, the Secure Investment Corp is a solution for you, okay? So sit tight. You're going to learn a lot about how you can manage your risk and your capital outlay with a solid return on investment when you find these kinds of real estate funds and angel funds, for that matter, that are structured in such a way as what my guest has done. So let me introduce you to Heather Dreeves. She's if you're watching on video, she's been very patiently waiting for me to do this introduction. So she's the director of funding at Secured Investment Corp. Heather oversees the management of two of their funds, the High Yield Number 2 LLC for accredited investors and the Circle of Wealth Fund 3, open to all levels of investors with a minimum of just $1,000. A unique focus that I look forward to learning more about during our time together. And that is that Heather enjoys lending money to self-employed entrepreneurs and their families. Watching people succeed in their business motivates her. And that's why she and her lending team focuses on transparency, mentorship, and making sure that their people make their money back, their clients make their money back, their investors make their money back. She learned early on that focusing on the bottom line was not enough to sustain a business. And after foreclosures and property taxes caught up with many of her clients, she decided to change her approach. Now, seminars, classes, and success and accountability programs are all ways that Heather and Secured Investment Corp are ensuring that their clients earn all their money back and then some. Secured Investment Corp is one of the fastest growing real estate lenders and fund managers in the U.S. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you for having me. That was quite the introduction.
Thank you. I just want to make sure people know where they're going to learn today so they'll stay tuned and how important you are to be telling this story. So let's just jump right in and build it from there. Sort of in on the topic and what I kind of said in the intro, time, team, capital, and expense. Not all real estate is created equal. There is location, trends, purpose, age. Investing in real estate without the real estate hassle. I think that's y'all's tagline, right?
Yep.
Tell us more about your passion and purpose and the mission of Secured Investment Corp and your role there.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of twofold. I feel blessed that I work for an organization and a firm and manage real estate funds that really help two types of clients, right? And at least in the world I live in, you know, we have very active investors. These would be our clients that are going out, buying real estate, rehabbing them, sometimes fixing and flipping, sometimes holding them as a rental product. You know, we have the ability to provide them funding and then also education. You know, we get a lot of those active people that come to us and it's amazing that they're looking for other ways to create generational wealth for their families, but they need a little coaching and guidance, right? You know, I have flipped homes myself. I have owned rentals. It's not as glamorous as it looks on TV. And it's a numbers game, you know, so we feel blessed that we can offer them, you know, educational products that teach them how to be successful. And then on the back end of that for our active clients, we'll help provide them the funding too, right? So these are our clients that are buying the real estate, they're hands-on, they're getting these properties where they're adding value. Sometimes their exit strategy is to sell. Sometimes it's to cash flow. Right now, cash flow is a great option. What I really have felt a niche for and really have been most focused on in the 20 years I've been in this industry is working with clients that have capital that they want to deploy. They are looking for alternative options outside of your more traditional resources like the stock market and the CDs and mutual funds, which there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not a financial advisor, and two, I'm not here to tell everybody to pull all their cash out of the stock market, but I am here to tell people, educate yourself. There are alternative options out there that are higher yielding and in my opinion, less risk adverse than the traditional options that most people know because that's all they know. I thought, before I got in this industry, I thought when you invested money, you went to your financial advisor, and when you wanted to buy a house, you went to your bank.
Okay.
I had no background that this private money world was out there. And was such an amazing opportunity to create wealth. And once I learned that, I was like, why doesn't everybody know this? This is, you know, the tools and the opportunities. The hardest part is finding the right deals, right? The funding is there, you know, and like you had mentioned, I get a lot of clients that call me and they're like, hey, I tried to lend my own money. I heard that being a private lender's, you know, a great opportunity to get high yields. I had no idea there was underwriting. There was due diligence, there was servicing the note, there was foreclosure management. So here at Secured Investment Corp, we've built this massive team behind us, right? And it is everything from when that deal comes in the door and we underwrite and do the due diligence up to servicing it through foreclosure and everything in between. What we really felt like we were missing an opportunity with was 10 years when we opened our first fund, we only could open to accredited investors. That was the laws. And like I think you mentioned, these kinds of investment options have been hushed for a long time. They're, you know, the Securities and Exchange does everything they can because it isn't stock related, right? To prevent people from doing this. But I think that myth is gone and people are talking about it. They're on podcasts like yours. They're educating themselves. About 4 years ago, we had the opportunity to open a fund and you don't have to be accredited to go into it. We felt we were doing a disservice to a lot of clients because you had to have $1 million in assets. You had to, you know, either have $200,000 or $300,000 a year in income, whether you were single or married for the past two consecutive years. So you know this, they changed a lot of those laws and we jumped all over the chance. We want everybody, regardless of the dollar amount and regardless of their net worth, to be able to start creating wealth for themselves through real estate backed assets. Our funds are backed by residential real estate assets, 1 to 4 units. So that's our niche. We're not a commercial lender. There's tons of opportunities out there in self-storage and apartments.
Okay.
We focus around residential. And we decided as a firm a long time ago, we were going to stay in our lane. That's our expertise. So that's really what we do in a very quick overview.
Yeah. Okay, good. So you refer to it as an alternative investment. Is that strictly because it's not public stock as sort of the traditional investment? Because I think of real estate as mainstream and right, you know,
yeah.
Silver, gold, you know, entrepreneurs, those are alternative investments. But is it kind of because of the way that it's structured? Does it have to adhere to the SEC security laws with disclosure, reporting, compensation, that kind of stuff? Or
yeah, that's a really good question. And to answer that question very quickly is they are regulated by the SEC. Both of our funds have to be registered with the SEC, but you can't go invest in our funds because they're not publicly traded real estate funds. They're not REITs. They're privately managed. We are the managing operator of the funds. So in that sense, a lot of people call them alternative investments, but I agree with you. I think real estate in general, any kind of real estate, is one of the safest places you can be putting money, especially in an inflationary time.
Yeah.
That is what a lot of people refer to it, but they are very regulated by the SEC. Both of our funds are fully audited on an annualized basis. Our fund that is open to the general public is actually regulated and reported on every single quarter to the SEC. So there is third party eyes that overlook and you know, continue to monitor our funds.
Yeah. So are they the ability to add unaccredited investors? Are you using in like a Reg A plus vehicle for that? Is that how you're doing that?
Yep. So our accredited investor fund is a 506C fund. So anybody that's accredited, as long as they can prove evidence of that, can put money into that. It does have a $50,000 minimum. Our unaccredited investor fund has a $1,000 minimum, and it is a Regulation A plus fund. So what the SEC does do is they're going to limit how much you can put in it. They don't want somebody that doesn't have wealth, you know, above and beyond $1 million, you know, putting all their eggs into our basket. So
sure.
What they say is you can put up to $10,000 or 10% of your annual estimated income or 10% of your estimated assets. So
okay.
They do regulate it. And that's to protect the consumer. I understand that. We have zero problems with that, but it is there to make sure that somebody's not putting every penny they have with us and, you know, potentially a fund can fluctuate, right? And
right.
I tell people all the time, this is a long-term play. If you're investing, you know, counting on cash flow to pay your bills, this is probably not the right type of investment for you because real estate funds can fluctuate. We could have a really big quarter. We've never missed paying our pref, which is a preferred rate. That's never happened, but there's risk in everything you invest in, right?
Sure, of course. And then you have a third fund that, or something that's mortgage notes, but that's done differently, or is it one that you're in these two funds that we're just talking about, they're directly investing in the real estate, not in buying the notes, and the other one buys the notes or something?
No. So our funds are diversified. So when we structured these 10 years ago, we said, we want a fund that doesn't just have one stream of income, right? Because if that stream of income is cut off, cash flow is not going to happen. So what we did is both funds are set up exactly the same. We take 75% of the balance of the funds and we lend that money out. So other real estate investors come to us buying investment properties and we will lend them money. And those are notes we originate. So we originate those notes. The funds make money off interest payments and origination points. And what's securing that is a first lien against the property.
Okay.
The other 25% of the fund balance, we buy hard real estate assets specifically in Spokane, Washington and Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So the Pacific Northwest, that's where we're located and we have boots on the ground. So we have an acquisition team that goes out, finds projects for our funds to buy. As one of the fund managers, there's three of us, we vote and we decide if we're going to buy it. So we have, you know, again, interest income coming in, origination points, and then we've got profit from real estate coming in. That way, if we have a slow month with originations, we can ramp up property purchases, you know, and vice versa. The notes we sell are the notes out of our funds. And the reason that we do that is that's our cash flow model, right? We keep an interest strip. So we'll originate a note. I'm going to charge you 12% on our money. And then I'm going to sell that note at 10%. So the fund keeps getting this residual 2% interest strip. We sell the note off. We don't own that lien anymore, but we've recouped all of our principal. And we keep getting 2% on that principal balance. And we already got our money back and we can go originate more.
All right.
It allows us to turn our fund over probably 3 to 4 times a year.
And that's why you can say you've got a minimum rate of return of 6%, for example, on your Circle of Wealth fund, and on average, I guess 9% on your high yield, because you're mathematically engineering the return and your risk profile based on that.
Right. Yeah. Our accredited investor fund has been hitting over 10% for the last 9 years. Those rates of return that you mentioned are what we call preferred rate. So in the fund management world, as an investor, you want to know what keeps that fund operator operating, like what motivates them to keep the yields up, right? We pay a preferred rate, which means our investors get paid first and then profit is split above and beyond those preferred rates, that 6 and that 9. So at the end of the day, if our fund only yields 9%, we don't get any share in the profit above that. So it is something when people are out there looking at other funds, ask them, hey, how does the pay work? Like, are you guys getting paid first and then we get paid? Because it really should be structured where a fund operator like us is motivated to say, hey, we need that fund yielding 10, 12% just to get our clients 10 to 11, right?
Right.
So our Circle of Wealth Fund 3 has been hitting about 8.3. That's our annualized lifetime yield. So they do really, really well. But like I tell people, they can fluctuate. You know, we're talking about an annualized yield over a 12-month period. So just be mindful of that, that, you know, because we have two types of clients. You can set your accounts up to pay your earnings out. The really neat thing is I don't know about you, but we deal with a lot of self-directed IRAs.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
Yes. And they love to reinvest their earnings. So then they don't have these dollars going back and forth to their custodians who charge an arm and a leg to move money back and forth. So they just reinvest. And then in December, we let their IRA custodians know, here's fair market value of Karen's account. This is, you know, all of her principal plus any of her earnings over the last year. So we work with a lot of self-directed clients.
Yeah. So let's put a pin in that quick and we're going to come back. I just want to give everybody an opportunity. If this is piquing your interest, you should go to securedinvestmentcorp.com. So it's in the show notes. You can click on it down there, but it's just like it says, securedinvestmentcorp.com. And that's where you can get more information about all this this that Heather is talking about. So I talk a lot about self-directed IRAs, or, you know, kind of unlocking the power of that 401k. If you've been working in a company for 10, 15, 20 years, you know, or even if you've been vested and then you move to another company and got vested there and you have, you know, been accumulating value in a 401k, particularly one that your company matches, you can unlock the investment potential of that and go outside of those traditional sort of things that they put into mutual funds and stock markets and put it to work in real estate and entrepreneurs. It is a way that investors invest in both. When it comes to investing in entrepreneurs, you really don't want to do your most speculative stuff. You want to invest in things that are going to have, because the whole goal is how you manage your taxes is to avoid some of that capital gains tax and some of the taxes you might pay on a reoccurring revenue stream, and to have it just come into your self-directed IRA, in effect, tax-free, because you've already paid money on the taxes when you converted it. Is that how the ones that you work with, is that how they work? So do you have an organization that you work with that helps people unlock their 401k and put it into the type of vehicle that can invest in your fund as a self-directed IRA?
Yes, we've probably worked with every self-directed custodian out there, and they're all a little bit different. We work pretty closely with a few of them. And I tell people, I'll give you references. We use Quest a lot, Equity Trust, Mountain West IRA. There's a few others out there. But I tell people, do your own homework, do your push-ups, see which one fits you best, because their fee structures are different, their customer service is different, And so what we do for our clients, and you're exactly right, like we get calls every day. I think I had an old 401k and I left it 2 employers ago, and I don't think I ever did anything with it. It's like, get that thing working. And like you said, the whole goal is create wealth and pay the least amount of taxes on it. So investing through self-directed IRAs, especially a Roth, oh my gosh, like how powerful is that? So these companies, these custodians will help you. I mean, you can literally call them and say, hey, this is where I left my 401k, and they will guide you and help you get that money rolled over. So you're not taking a distribution. They're going to roll it over. Most 401ks, as you probably know, roll over to an IRA of some kind. And then you can start putting that money to work for you.
Yeah. And for those CEOs and that are running their own business, they have a successful business. And, a lot of times they might have 10, 15, 20 employees. They haven't set up a 401k. They have been running it as a Roth IRA all along. So you may not even realize that you had that kind of potential in your investment retirement account to be able to invest in assets like real estate and have the income, the recurring income of that to go back in and grow the value at a higher rate than, the bit that you might get in the stock market or the mutual fund that it's in right now. So Heather, let's talk about this. Real estate, very volatile now. People are predicting another bubble due to these inflated values that we really have seen driven in large part by institutional real estate investment trusts that have, large amounts of money, and they're just really looking to park it. Some theories are that it's sort of the lingering ripple effect of late arrivers to the opportunity zone funds. And some of those funds got kind of, so they're looking at the back end capital gains, not as much as the savings on the front end capital gains, but they're just a lot of cash out there to be put into real estate. And in some cases you're competing against that, because I've heard that some of those are buying them and just sitting on them. They're not renting them. They're not, flipping them. They're just sitting on them. And so it creates a lack of inventory in the marketplace, and it inflates the value when they go into these bidding wars. So how have you felt that in your investments that you've been making in the last, really it was peaked out probably the last 12 months. It sort of seems like, at least in Atlanta, it's kind of leveling off. And, what kind of, let's talk about that and how you've seen that impact, and has it changed your thesis when it comes to working with some of these, owner operator occupants and their ability to find investments?
No, I think that's a great topic to touch base on, because in these, you know, unusual times, people are uneasy. And a lot of current clients of ours are calling, saying, hey, how are you stress testing this? So there's a few things. I mean, and I will tell you, you know, I mentioned we have an education program. A lot of our borrowers come from that, but we practice what we preach. So if we're telling them to do one thing, we're practicing that in our fund management side of things. One of the things that we've always felt really strongly about is we play in the affordable housing market space. So what I mean by that, we don't buy houses over the FHA cap, and we don't lend money on properties that a value is over the FHA cap, because you lose about 80% of your buying power when you get above that FHA cap, because now it's jumbo homes. So in a, you know, recessionary market, interest rates are going up, your high-end jumbo home loans are typically the first ones that are affected as far as from a value standpoint. We have seen values leveling off. We have not seen them start to decline. But on the lending side and strategy in our fund, we don't lend more than 70% of the value. So we have a 30% cushion, which very much protects us in the event there is a decline, right? What I have seen with borrowers is, you know, the majority of our borrowers in the past, I'd say, you know, 5 years have been very profitable fixing and flipping, right? They're adding value and doing very minimal rehab. And with the values going up, they were making great money. What we've started to see is people's exit strategies change. So the asset's not different, but what most of our borrowers are doing is renting these properties now and cash flowing them. So again, because you're in the affordable housing market space, you have the ability to rent these properties rather than try to sell them when values decline, when interest rates go up, and rents are great cash flow. We also do that with the assets that we're buying. We are buying houses in the affordable housing market space, first-time home buyers. We can carry contracts on them. I mean, we just sold a house for $450,000 and someone walked in and put $250,000 down. We're carrying a contract at 9%. It's like, how secure? I mean, there's no risk in that. Even if they default and we take it back, we got $250,000 down. So we're seeing some of that, you know, where there's opportunity to carry contracts. There's opportunities to rent properties and just get great cash flow off of them. So I think as a fund operating team, we have to always be looking at what our exits are, right? Like, hey, if we get this back, what are we going to do? How are we going to keep cash flow coming into the fund? I think you're not going to see bidding wars. You're not going to see prices increasing like they were. But again, you might see people and bigger entities coming in buying these houses to cash flow them. I have some pretty high net worth people that are looking for 1031 exchange options, and we've been able to sell them some rental products. So I think just being nimble as a fund operating team and not being so siloed that, hey, all we did was fix and flip. Now let's look at some other things. The other thing is the houses that we buy and that we encourage our clients to buy are not on the MLS. These are, you know, out-of-state homeowner lists. You know, pull a list of people that own properties in your local market that don't live there. More often than not, they're landlords. They might be tired of dealing with tenants not paying after all the moratoriums. We used to go to the foreclosure auction. That hasn't been as great lately. There was a lot of moratoriums where you couldn't foreclose. Those are just starting to come back. So we buy a lot of off-market distressed deals. We work with our counties. You know, are there blighted houses? There were nuisance houses. So the deals are out there. You just got to know where to find them. And I think also continuing to stay in your lane, like not trying to be the fund that does everything for everybody. You know, if Karen likes commercial, you know, we're not, we'll have other options for that. But these funds are specifically around the residential housing market space. And I think that's how we limit our risk.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. That's great. I'm glad to understand that better and see that you're seeing, to me, it's encouraging because we do have a, I guess, a higher demand for people to rent because of just, you know, the flux of things. There's, we here, south of Atlanta are struggling to get homes that are in the ballpark of a first-time home buyer, you know, and it's just everything has been the mega homes and everybody's right. Buying that and building that. And it's been kind of the squeezed out
particularly if some of these companies are buying ones that could be that, if they did a little bit of a fix up on them, but they're just sort of sitting on them. So it's good to know that you're out there hunting for those opportunities to make them available for the renters, as well as for the investors to make a return that they can feel good about.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have, just to understand, we have a massive team. We have acquisitions. So we literally have people calling on lists. We have virtual assistants that are finding those deals. They're out there. We're pretty excited about some of the opportunities that we think are going to come up through this. You know, it's not to say that we're excited for people that can't buy a house or, you know, are losing their house, but we believe from a real estate investment, there's still a lot of opportunity out there. So we're pretty bullish on it.
Excuse me for that. That came through. I'm trying to not cough. And I'm mute, and I don't know if I'm messing everything up, but that's the nature of a live recorded show.
I've done that.
So anyhow, as we start to wrap up here, anything that you'd like to add you hadn't had a chance to tell our listeners?
Yeah. I just encourage everybody to educate yourself, you know, and, you know, like you had mentioned, visit our website, securedinvestmentcorp.com. So securedinvestmentcorp.com. We've got a bunch of information on there. They can actually schedule an appointment with myself and my team, and we'll give them a 15-minute consultation. You mentioned IRAs. We're pretty passionate about those. We love to refer people out to custodians that can educate and guide them on how to move their money around if that's something they're interested in. But the biggest takeaway I would want everybody to take from this is just get started. Like, you don't have to have $50,000 to start investing. You can start with $1,000 and you can add as you go along, you know, and I encourage all young people out there, if you have an opportunity to open a Roth, go open a Roth, like right now, like yesterday, because we don't know how long that option is going to be out there. There's been talk of them taking that away. So start creating wealth. And it doesn't matter if you're in your 50s or in your 20s, you got to start somewhere. Nothing's going to change if you don't change the past, right? So visit our website. You can see our notes on there. I tell you, those are probably our more active clients that are a little more risk adverse. You have to have larger dollars to do that. And then obviously we have the funds, which is very hands-off. I have a lot of retired people looking for cash flow, don't want any headache of owning real estate or buying notes. The funds are a perfect option for that. So we feel like we have this inventory of different types of investment options that just about fit anybody. And real estate is important to add to your portfolio. It's great for diversification. It's great for an inflationary, recessionary period. And, you know, you can get started without being as hands-on as you might think.
Yep, absolutely. Stocks, real estate, and entrepreneurs. Those are the asset classes that every portfolio should have, in my opinion. So yeah. I have all of those. They perform differently, you know, and so you got to have that mix, right? And there you go. So thank you so very much, Heather, for being a guest on the Compassionate Capitalist Show. Thank you all for listening in. I want to encourage you, if you have not yet signed up for the Compassionate Capitalist Coffee Breaks, those are the little 1 to 2 minute videos that I send out on a weekly basis that answers questions that entrepreneurs have and investors have. And it's just intended to be a little coffee break to freshen up your day and give you a little boost so you can, and something to think about, food for the mind. And thank you. Please share this show with your friends that are considering getting involved in real estate investing or are involved in real estate investing, that they can learn something from this show. That's how we grow our audience, is because you share it when you like it. And so thank you very much for tuning in. Onwards and upwards.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to this podcast, The Compassionate Capitalist Show, brought to you by Cougaran Capital Holdings with Karen Rands as host. You are encouraged to visit the website cougaran.com to learn more about how Karen and her team help investors and angel groups make money by avoiding investing in deals that suck, and how the Cougaran Capital companies and partners help entrepreneurs break through their barriers to capital and live their dream by building companies that can scale and create generational wealth for their founders and investors. If your business could benefit from exposure to our audience of business executives, entrepreneurs, and investors, we are seeking financial partners and sponsors for the Compassionate Capitalist Show to help us take this podcast beyond our 150,000 listeners and amplify the message of the Compassionate Capitalist Movement by making this a top 50 business podcast. The Compassionate Capitalist Show is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Google Podcasts. Contact us at KarenRanz.co to learn more. And as a listener, you can do your part of the Compassionate Capitalist Movement by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts and sharing this show with your friends and colleagues. Be sure to pick up your copy of Karen's bestseller that launched the Compassionate Capitalist Movement, Inside Secrets to Angel Investing, a step-by-step strategies to leverage private equity investment for passive wealth creation. Thank you for listening.